welcome to the Free Your Heart podcast. I'm your host and heart healer, Ashley Mondor, and I am here to serve as your guide while bringing you nourishing conversations, wisdom, and channeled messages that support your healing journey to wholeness and unconditional love. It's my hope that this podcast and the stories shared with you inspire you, expand you, and align you to the profound understanding of not only who you are, but for what's possible for you as you heal and open your heart. And with that said, I invite you to get comfortable, unclench your jaw, and release any tension you're holding in your body. Now take a deep breath in with love for yourself and for this heart-to-heart connection. And when you're ready, let's dive in. Before we dive into today's episode, I'm going to give you a content trigger warning. So this is about when I was assaulted. And this is very important for me to share this story in the world because I'm not the only one who has been assaulted, or if you are a woman, there are things that you can glean from this. So while it can be hard to hear, I invite you to listen with an open mind and an open heart. There are things that you may hear that you could judge me for, and you could be like, wow, I could have seen that a million miles away, or, you know, judged my actions. And I just want you to know, thank you for listening and holding the space for me to share this. And if you cannot handle this story, or if you haven't started your journey, if you've been assaulted, please consider taking time for you and going to heal. And if you ever feel called to coming back here, I invite you to, but this may not be the time. So I'm sharing this episode this week because this will be the third anniversary of when I was assaulted. And I wanted to share with you that it was on a Thursday around 6 p.m. in July, and the weather was stunning. And I thought, oh my God, I want to go to my favorite trail on the planet, which is the Windchill Trail. So the reason why I love this place is because you can take one of two paths. The first path is the one that's super busy. It's where the bikers are. It's where people with strollers are. They're really loud. It's a lot of foot traffic. And part of it is because it's easily accessible, which is amazing. It's pretty flat. And also in the open sun, which I have pale skin and my God, I can only be out in the sun for so long. The second path, though, is the one that's down further, closer to the river, and it is lush. When you walk on it, you are literally embraced and surrounded by trees, and you can listen to the river as it flows by, and very few people take it, which I don't understand, but also pretty grateful for because I love being alone and relishing in the wooded trail. I love processing my life and recharging my batteries in nature, and to be able to have this in the city is everything to me. So on this day, I basically walked out like 2 or 3 miles and then it was time to come home. So I'm heading back towards my car, which is about 30 minutes away. And so I get myself to a place where there are these stone steps that you can take that lead you from the lush trail up to the paved trail. And it was odd because I saw this man sitting on the steps, but he wasn't in workout gear. And he just looked like he was taking a moment, but he was taking up the entire stairway. And I thought, okay, well, I didn't want to be disrespectful and ask him to move, so I'm just going to keep going. But the problem is that I'm about to head into the part of the trail that's the furthest from the paved path. So I thought to myself, oh God, like if you're creepy, I'm going to have to sprint up this huge hill and book it. Like if anything happens, and that was my first thought. It didn't even occur to me. Why would I have that thought? But, you know, creepy people. Thinking that this man was harmless, I decided to keep walking on the wooded path. Again, it's 6 p.m. It's sunny. People are out with their family. They're enjoying life, right? So I go through this wooded trail and it's literally one of my most favorite places on the planet because I believe fairies live there. It is stunning. The wildflowers and the way that they're so vibrant, the tall grasses, the oak trees, like, oh my God. When I tell you, oh, I don't even have words. And once you get up the hill, there is this flat, grassy area with truly my most favorite tree on the planet. She is stunning. She is so beautiful. Her branches look like lightning. Oh God, I love her so much. And every time I see her, I hug her, which that could be like a thing for people, but you know, trees have energy and a whole vibe. So every time I see her, I say hello and I thank her. So I run up this super steep hill. It's rocky. I pause to take the sights in. It's my most favorite part of the trail, right? I'm looking at my tree. She's so gorgeous. I'm so grateful. Like, I'm hanging out with the fairies. It's the sanctuary that I love, and very few people visit here. And again, it's the most farthest place from the paved trail. So I'm walking towards the other side of the hill to get down this flat area. And just in my own mind, processing my life, it's hot. I'm excited to go home, drink water. And I hear a twig snap under someone's foot. Alarmed, I turn to look and see. There was this guy, a different guy, and he came out of nowhere. And I thought, what? Like, he came out from this high grass area, but it didn't occur to me. Well, maybe he was just taking a moment. So I spin around, I see him, and I made eye contact with him while he was walking. I thought, okay. So I pick up my pace towards the hill in order to descend. But what happens? I can hear him walking even faster, which freaks me the fuck out. I take a deep breath in, and I turn around so that my back isn't facing him, because something in the back of my mind is like, turn. But as I do it, he's literally right behind me, and he lunges and grabs my arm. I yank it out of his grip, and I tell him, get the hell off of me. And he looks at me, and he pleads, Miss, I'm so sorry, I'm lost. I came to find the waterfall, but now I'm lost. Can you please help me? And he's saying this with these huge eyes and this facial expression that's like really, truly pleading, like he needs help. But as he says that, he goes and grabs my arm again. And I tell him, get the fuck off of me. And I rip my arm back out. And he says, Miss, please, please, can you help me? Can you help me guide me back? I'm trying to find this waterfall. And he says it with this expression that feels almost believable. And as he goes to lunge again, I tell him, quit fucking touching me. No, I'm not guiding you. Take the trail at the bottom of the hill and go right. I'm pissed. I'm freaked out. Don't touch me. And then it hits me. We both have to take the hill down in order to leave this flat place. If I turn and go the other way, there's a hill. And I have to go back through the fairy sanctuary by a man who made me feel uncomfortable. Or I have to go down this hill with this man. And I hear this voice that cuts through everything. I hear, tell him to walk in front of you down the hill. So I look at him and I say, you take this hill, but you are walking in front of me. So I feel like that was the most brilliant thing I could have done. We get down to the bottom of the hill and he turns and he lunges and grabs my rib cage and pulls me towards the side of the trail where it's darker and closer to the river. I rock out of his grip and I yell even louder, get the fuck off of me. And he says, Miss, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to grab. And then he thrusts forward to grab my arm again, and I jerk it out of his clutches. And as I do that, and I rock back, his facial expression changes completely. It's as if his eyes became black, and he says with a smile, oh, I thought the waterfall was down that way. And I instinctively freak the fuck out, and I push him away, and I run until I see people. And what do I see? An entire group of men, and my heart sank and I'm freaking out. I'm having a literal panic attack. I'm running. And I get up to a place where I can finally be on the paved path. I hop in my car, I lock everything, and my heart is pounding. I am sweating. I keep looking around me, feeling massively unsafe. So I call the police. I get on the phone with them. And I'm like, I don't know what just happened, but there's a predator out there and he tried to grab me and take me into the woods. And he looks like this and he smells like cigarettes and he has jet black eyes and jet black hair. And the woman on the phone said, okay, I'm so sorry to hear this has happened to you. I'll send a police officer to file a report because you've been assaulted. And in that moment, I sat there thinking, this really happened to me. There was a label. I was attacked. What could have happened if he would have gotten his way? Now I know that I was set up. The man sitting on the stairs alerted the person who attacked me. When I tell you that they changed my life, I don't have the words. They took my sense of safety. They removed the veil from my eyes. I see the world so differently now. My nervous system is primed differently now. It's been 3 years. I still struggle walking alone, even in my own neighborhood. If I'm out on a trail, I try and bring a dog with me because I never want to go through something like that again. If I see two or more men on a trail, I will hide. I will turn around. I am constantly seeking for safety. Because once you go through something like that, it changes you. So I wanted to share some of the lessons that I learned from this. It doesn't matter what time of day it is. You can still be assaulted. It was sunny and 6, and people were outside. But they still attempted. Even if you've been to a place 1,000 times, be present and aware of your surroundings. Let people know where you are. Tell people. Seek out where your escape routes are if needed. If you can, bring your phone. If you're like me now, I carry this little personal alarm called the Birdie. Because what happens if it's pulled? It makes an incredibly high-pitched sound. People will prey on your willingness to help. This man sought me out. He pleaded with me for a split second because it was so alarming. I really felt like he needed help. I was going to be that person, but he didn't. If it doesn't feel right, it isn't right. Point fucking blank. Another thing that truly I'm so grateful for is that I wasn't wearing headphones. I wasn't out there just lost in a podcast or music. I was walking focused. I wouldn't have heard the twig snap under his foot. What if I had headphones? He could have easily grabbed my neck, my hair, my body. But I heard him. Another thing, if you're not exercising, you need to start. My strength and ability to run, paired with some of the self-defense moves I've learned, as well as using kettlebells and strength training, save me from an even more dangerous situation. You've got to start exercising. Lastly, always, always, always listen to your intuition. Even if you feel silly or like it's not a big deal. I would rather feel silly and safe than traumatized. And I say this because I walked by that man on the stairs. I did not want him to move. I didn't want to make him feel uncomfortable or like I was a burden by asking to go up the stairs to the paved path. That man alerted my attacker. My subconscious mind knew it was taking in all the information, sending me alarm bells, telling me what to do, and I didn't listen. When you go through something like this once, now you know. Now you know. Listen to your intuition. If something feels off, it is. And if it isn't, you have no idea what you could have sidestepped. I would have rather been able to walk trails now and be in the woods by myself without feeling constantly unsafe, without always having to look behind me. That is forever part of my nervous system. I also want to say, no human should ever have to feel afraid to walk on the freaking earth. And whatever happened that day, it truly changed me. And I know it was also the catalyst for part of the work that I do now, teaching people about their intuition, listening to themselves, trusting themselves, seeing how their subconscious mind brings through messages for you. But you got to trust it. We take up space. We stand taller. We listen to ourselves. Your safety is a priority. It's a priority over everything else. I could have been taken that day. God only knows what could have happened if I wasn't strong enough and listened to the voices that told me to go ahead of me down the hill for pushing him away and running. I had to listen though. So I wanted to bring you back to also, this trail is my favorite trail because of that tree. And I've had multiple healings helping me with the trauma in my body, helping with the energy, all of those things. And now during once a year, I celebrate the anniversary of my assault because it was me taking back my power, taking back my trail, taking back my tree. And I go and I bring her gifts and I hug her and I thank her for holding me in that space because she very well could have been the messenger telling me to have him walk in front of me. So the first year, I had a full-on panic attack and was shaking and terrified to go back, but I had a friend with me and he was willing to walk with me there and to hold the space while I was crying and experiencing physical sensations in my arms and my body because of fear and that trauma response, because I hadn't been back in an entire year. So I went to bring her chocolates and tobacco, and as we get up to the tree, which is like a mile and a half away from the car, all of a sudden across the river, I hear bagpipes playing. It was as if I was being welcomed back to her. And what are the odds? I'm Scottish. I love bagpipes. I've never heard them played there in years. And yet someone is out there playing this song and it felt like it was for me. It was my coming home. The second year, I had brought my partner who didn't understand what I had gone through, didn't really know the full story, but he was willing to help me celebrate and love my tree, which when you're newly dating someone can feel bizarre, but he was willing. So we went up to bring her gifts so I could hug her. And for the first time in the dozens and dozens and dozens of times I've gone to visit her, little blue dragonflies were all over the tree, dancing around, welcoming me back to this space. And I will share about how profoundly important dragonflies are to me. They are my symbol of spirit, and I have incredible stories to share with you about them. But if you know, you know, and you've been in my life for a while, seeing dragonflies is a big deal. And here they were, landing on me, landing on my partner, and hanging out on the tree. So I wanted to share this because it's been one of the most important stories of my life. It was the catalyst for me, and it changed a lot of things in my life. And I vividly remember once I came home after that event, trying to unlock the door when I got home, but for some reason, my head and my hand couldn't connect in order to do this task that I had done hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. I remember that night having no one to really turn to because my family was out of town, sitting on the couch, feeling so massively unsafe, and the only respite I could find while I was curled up in a ball was listening to Brené Brown's Call to Courage on Netflix. Her voice was the thing that helped me feel safe, even though I didn't feel safe in my body, even though I felt so disheartened with the fact that something that had always made me feel safe, hiking in the woods, was taken from me. I remember how mentally foggy I was. I left random things in the fridge, like forks and my keys, or I would leave lights on, which is something I never do. And I also remember going to work the next day, because that's what you do, especially when you don't know any better and you don't have a therapist or a counselor. I remember going to work and I could not think or process anything. It was as if my body was stuck outside of its window of tolerance, which is a term we talk about in trauma-informed care, and I couldn't function. I was stuck in the events and rehashing what had happened, and I would randomly burst out into tears. I would have to go for walks because I could not contain myself. But part of the catalyst of this event is that it did walk me towards learning more about being trauma-informed so that I can hold a safer space for my clients. Now going back, I would have thought, maybe a therapist or a counselor, someone who can help me heal through this, I would have done that immediately. I would have sought that out, but in the moment, in that feeling in my body, because I couldn't think clearly, I didn't know what were the best next steps for me to take. So again, the biggest things that I wanted to hit home: pay attention to your surroundings, be focused and aware, trust yourself, Trust your intuition, listen to the messages, even if it feels weird or off or silly. Even if you don't want to be a burden, take up space. Trust yourself. If you feel like running, run. If you feel like changing your direction, do it. If you feel like standing taller and broadcasting your energy out, you have to. Your subconscious mind is sending you alarm bells. I would rather have you feel safe and silly than the opposite of anything that could potentially take your life away. I also wanted to say, the first time I shared this story, I had a number of women message me saying they had similar stories. And there was a book that they highly recommend, and I do as well. And this book is called The Gift of Fear, Survival Signals That Protect Us from Violence by Gavin DeBecker. And I have to tell you, this book is not an easy read. It's actually really, really difficult because he covers all of the dangerous situations that people typically face, like street crime, domestic abuse, violence in the workplace. The reason why it's so hard is because he gives real life examples and he gives specific advice on how to protect yourself, you know, things on restraining orders, self-defense, all of that. But the hardest part for me was diving into the first chapter. I saw myself in that victim. I saw the people-pleasing tendencies. I saw how she was preyed upon because of her caring nature and because she didn't want to take up space and because she wanted to just be supportive and not have someone feel badly or any type of way. I saw myself in her, and that first chapter was both really eye-opening and crushed my heart because I knew it's not just me out here with these blinders on. It's not just me trying to keep everything and everyone in harmony and to make people feel good about themselves at the detriment of my own safety. So I highly recommend it. And I just want to say I'm so grateful for having you listen to this episode specifically, because it's my hope that if anything you share a takeaway from this episode, or you share this episode with someone that you love or the women in your life to showcase, even if it's 6 p.m. and sunny in July and there are families around, you can still be assaulted or attacked. And I want people to feel like they have more resources, because when we are well-resourced, we make different decisions and choices. We show up differently in our life. Usually we're more compassionate and we're more self-aware and more conscious. And when we're more conscious, we make the world a better, brighter, more loving place for all. So thank you for being with me. Thank you for listening with an open mind and an open heart. I really don't take that for granted. You could be doing anything right now, but you're listening to me share this story. So thank you. I love you. And I hope you have a beautiful day. If you loved this episode, would you do me a favor and leave me a quick rating? Or could you share this episode with someone you love? This is super, super helpful for me on my mission to opening more hearts across the world and connecting people back to the truth of their souls. Thank you so much for being with me.